You see behind me here, the title of my message today is called People with a Mission. How many of you here today believe that you have a mission in life?
All right, we're getting there. We're getting there. Good.
Now, at the same time, I think some of us are a little bit afraid about what that mission could be, right? A lot of us, we want to know what our purpose is. We feel like we're supposed to have a purpose. But we sit there and we're like, if God gives me a mission, it's going to be hard. Right? We see the mission that God gives his people, his church, sometimes is a chore. Right? We make excuses to get out of it. I've talked before how sometimes we think, you know, if I tell God that I'll give him my whole life, I'm going to end up in a hut in Africa. Right? He's going to make me give all my stuff away, or I'm going to have to go and wear like sackcloth and ashes and hold a cardboard sign out in the middle of the street that says, turn, you know, the time is near, kind of thing. Like, these are the sorts of things that sometimes come through our minds, right? We're like, man, I know I have a mission, but Netflix is so much more interesting. But let me challenge you. How would your perspective shift if we began to change our thinking on what it is to have a mission from God to be something more like this?
Morning, Mr. Hammond. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, involves the recovery of a stolen item designated Chimera.
This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Now that is how I choose to believe that a mission comes from God. You know what I mean? I can just picture just sitting there praying on my knees. God, what is your mission for my life? And all of a sudden, like, up pops like a pair of sunglasses. Oh, this is interesting. Put it on. It's like, hello, Stephen. That's not right. Hello, Stephen.
Your mission from God, if you choose to accept it, is to tell people about Jesus. This message will self-destruct.
And I don't know what I'm supposed to do at that point if I'm in my house praying. I guess I have insurance, you know? But I think, like, if we treated the mission of God for our lives that way, we would all be, like, rushing to pray. We'd be like, no, I gotta pray. I gotta get my mission from God, because I'm gonna sit there and there's gonna be a helicopter that flies in and Jesus is gonna come out and he's gonna give me a mission, and oh man, I'm gonna see things happen. This is gonna be a life of excitement, of purpose, of all these things. But that's not how we usually look at it, is it? I know when I got my call to ministry, my reaction was, oh crap. That's actually what I said. Oh crap. I think God wants me to be a pastor. Like, there goes my life. But let me tell you that walking in step with the mission and purpose that God made you for in the everyday, in the places that you're in, not holding back, but saying, I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. Man, that is big. That's exciting. Consider this. What Ethan Hunt did, he saved the world. What we do as the church, we save people's eternity. Well, we don't. Jesus does. But he uses us as his agents, his operatives. So today, let me pray for us as we continue to talk about this topic of being people with a mission. Heavenly Father, today I ask that you would stir something in our hearts and get us truly excited about the big things and the little things that you've called us into. Lord, whether you call us to be people that just live life and work in our vocation in such a way that just honors you, people who intentionally have conversations and who support others, who are going into missions and into the ministry if in a full-time capacity, Lord, I ask that you would bless us and help us to step into those things. Lord, whoever of us you're calling into more of a full-time ministry or doing something part-time that's a lot more big, Lord, I ask that you would give us the confidence and the giftedness or the recognition of that within the church to be people who are sent people. Lord, I thank you so much for our youth group and for our youth leaders who had the wherewithal to call it sent youth. Because the reality is, Lord, that all of your people are sent. So God, today I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the book of Matthew, in the Bible, Matthew records a very well-known incident. It comes after Jesus' crucifixion, after his resurrection, but before his ascension. And we find this in Matthew 28. Jesus talking to his disciples, to all his followers, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, I'm really hoping that you didn't tune that out, because a lot of you, you've heard this many times, right? And we need to understand, sometimes, like, we really like it when we know things well, but one of the things I like about unfamiliarity is it forces us to actually think about things. Like, I don't know about you, but when a song that I used to sing over and over and over again comes up on the radio, or who listens to the radio now, on Amazon Music or whatever streaming platform you may be using, and I'm just like, oh man, this was my jam back in the day. Can you tell I'm 35? This is my jam back in the day. And I just start to sing along. But can I tell you, while that song's making an impact, I'm not thinking about the words. I know them so well, they just come out of my mouth. I don't need to think about anything, right? But when I go to a conference or something like that, a Christian conference, and all of a sudden some band from the city comes out and they start singing a song, and I'm like, I don't know the song at all. You know what I end up doing? I read the words, right? And so sometimes with things that are really important in the Bible that pastors are always talking about, we're like, yeah, I've heard this before, right? Yeah, old, been there, done that. I got the t-shirt. I've heard this. Can we move on? I've already decided that this is maybe for other people, but not really for me. You been there? I'm going to guess by the little smirks that we know what I'm talking about, you know. But this is important, right? So often, in fact, this is so important that though it doesn't actually say it in the text, this is Jesus' commission to his people, but we don't just call it the commission. What do we call it? The Great Commission. Can I tell you that if throughout Christian history we decide that we are going to label something the Great, it probably means it's important. In fact, I would go so far, and this is going to ruffle some feathers. I'm going to go so far as to say that obeying the Great Commission is the primary purpose for Jesus' followers. And I know some of you are probably like, but Pastor Stephen, isn't our primary purpose on earth to just worship God? Yes. But here's the problem. A lot of us think that worshiping God is just putting the earbuds in and going kumbaya. A lot of us think that worshiping God is coming to church, getting bitter because our favorite song wasn't on, you know, getting played, or because, you know, Pastor Stephen really touched a nerve with his sermon that week. And then we all go for lunch and you're sitting around the table and you're like, can you believe Pastor? Yeah, he was totally off his game this week. Like, man, that guy just needs to know when to hang up. You know, that's what so many Christians think worshiping Jesus is. Do you know what Paul said it is? For Paul, his act of worship was to become a living sacrifice. Do you know what you do to sacrifices? You kill them. In other words, he's walking around giving everything. He's dying to his own desires to do whatever Jesus calls him into. That's the ultimate act of worship. Let me tell you, if Jesus was just like, you know what, all of you that are already followers of Jesus, just worship me. That's the only thing you need to do. Then he wouldn't have left us here. He would have been like, you guys are pretty awesome. Some of you ran away when I was getting crucified, but you all came back. Thanks. hey, come with me. I'm going to see the Father. That's not what he did, though. He gave us the Great Commission. He left us here because in the words of Peter in the Bible, right? God doesn't wish or desire that anyone should perish, but that everyone should reach repentance. And so our act of worship is getting out of our comfort zone and obeying, grabbing a hold of the mission that he gives us. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, should excite us. Because we have the responsibility and the privilege to take the message of salvation in Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection to the entire world, to make disciples, that is, followers of Jesus, those being taught by him, of all the nations. That means that there are people here, most of us here, are called to make disciples in Pincher Creek or whatever community. Maybe you're called to make disciples in Alberta. There's people called to make disciples in other areas of Canada or of the U.S. or the rest of North America and South America and all around the world. This is the mission of the church. And I'm not talking about it's the mission of pastors who run the organization of the church. I'm saying that you, the church, the body of Jesus Christ, all filled and empowered by the same Holy Spirit of God, have a mission, a purpose to go into all the world and make disciples. Listen, I get that it's difficult, but can I share with you, most of us understand that we should love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, right? But have you ever considered that if you keep what Jesus has done in your life to yourself, you're actually not loving your neighbor? Like, if you truly believe that what Jesus did for us and believing in him is a matter of spiritual life and death, and then you're like, eh. I've said it before to get a little bit of a shock, and I'm going to do it now because I think you guys need to wake up. When we do that, when we say, nah, I'm not going to do this, you know what you're actually in your mind, whether you're saying it or not, you're actually saying to your neighbor, you're saying, my neighbor can go to hell. It's not very loving. So that's why we share the love of Jesus. And that's why we're all supposed to be in this, because all of us have connections to other people who need to know God. And all of us are connected to people in such a way that we should just desire to love our neighbor as ourselves. This mission is so important because it's about eternal life and death. As followers of Jesus, we, like so many other churches in the historical church throughout history, believe that the Bible is the authoritative and infallible words of God. And in the Bible, if we are people who will truly say, yeah, what the Bible says is God telling me his plan for me. It's his commands. It's his encouragements. If we say, yes, it is authoritative and it is infallible, then we also have to wrestle with the fact that it talks about two places in life or afterlife. It talks about the hell and torment of complete eternal separation from God, no longer having the sustainer of life even remotely present amongst us, and the unsustainability of that being carried on for eternity, or the other option, the joy of his perfect presence and peace. See, I think so often we think, oh, God's sending people there. No. The sin, the rejection of God, the turning away brought sin into the world, which, as I talked about before, kind of unplugged us from God. And God sacrificed his son. Jesus came to earth to pay the price and to provide a doorway out, to plug us back into the life giver. And as C.S. Lewis once said, for Christians, earth is the closest to hell we'll ever be, because it's the least connected to God we'll ever be. But for those that don't follow Christ, earth is the closest to heaven they'll ever be, because it's the closest to the presence of God they'll ever have, or they'll ever be. And if that's not sobering, right? If that doesn't grab you here, then there's a problem. And a lot of people throughout history and in our society now who would say that they're followers of Jesus, they've begun to wrestle with or deal with this uncomfortability by ascribing to something called universalism. Universalism is this idea that says that since Jesus died to pay the price for sin, that anyone that lives a good life, Jesus is like, you're good. Even as they continue to reject him, that he'll just be like, well, that's all right. But listen to the words of Jesus, as recorded in the book of John in the Bible. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I'm not making stuff up. I'm literally just reading the Bible to you. Okay? The world was hopeless and broken before Jesus. And we got in this situation by rejecting the commands and purposes of God. So how can we ignore what Jesus says is truth and to make ourselves feel comfortable say, you know what, it's okay. You can continue in that original sin of rejecting God and everything that he's done for you, but in the end, it's all going to be okay. See, if we believe that it's all going to be okay, the worst thing that you could possibly do is tell someone about Jesus, because you might interrupt their life. You might interrupt their belief system and make them doubt things. But if we truly believe the words of Jesus is recorded in the Bible and we see the Bible as authoritative and infallible in our lives, then you have to think, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Unless we believe in Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, and place our trust in him, we don't have that life. So we are compelled. If we truly believe these things, we are compelled by love for others, love for God, and obedience to the great commission that Jesus has given all who follow him to share this message of life and hope with the world. And not in that annoying fashion of just like slapping people in the face with it or anything like that, but in a caring and compassionate and gentle way. But I also want to make clear, missions is about more than just sharing the good news of Jesus with people who've never heard it before. It's also about helping those people grow in their faith and in their relationship with Jesus. That's the second part of the Great Commission, right? Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what? Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And so part of missions is not only trying to bring people to know Jesus, but also teaching them to serve him well and then bring others to Jesus. The Christian life is disciples making disciples who make disciples. Somewhere along the way, we've lost that. So let me get down to some practical things, all right? How can you live out this mission that Jesus has for your life? The first thing that we need to make sure that we're doing is be intentional in sharing Jesus through words and actions. All the introverts in the room go, do I have to? I'm with you. But yes. Listen, even us introverts have friends. We just don't talk to them very often. You know? So here's what this looks like, all right? A lot of us, I know when I was growing up, I'd be in youth group and everyone would be like, okay, you're a Christian, and the people that you hang around with have an impact in whether or not you'll continue to follow Jesus. So you should only hang out with good Christian people. Now go and make disciples of all the world. How? I don't know anyone. You would have found, because there is a balance here, right? Like if we're like only hanging out with people that don't share our beliefs, there can be a lean that way. But if we shut everyone out of our lives and we just create a little bubble, then we just become like, oh, those people, they're not very friendly. They don't like anybody. They're friendly with each other. I don't know what they believe. I don't know what they do. Right? Can I share a secret with you? I have found, especially I found during the COVID years, you remember those? Yeah. I found out that unchurched people can be pretty cool. In fact, sometimes they're better behaved than we are. Sometimes they're less obnoxious and irritating than we are. In fact, there were times when things got most stressful. I was like, I don't want to have any appointments with Christians. How can I go hang out with non-Christians because they're not as crazy? Right? Because a lot of us, we just got worked up. Like I preach about it, right? We should have been placing our trust and our foundation and our hope in Jesus. And instead we were like, the sky is falling. We should turn that into a meme. But no, like, so make genuine friendships, and I stress that, genuine friendships with people outside your circle even. And as opportunities arrive and being intentional in those things, not just if they happen, but, hey, I'm looking for these things, share who Jesus has made you to be. Love people, care for people, share your experiences with people. Don't take your faith, close it up in a box, put the 5 padlocks on it, and shove it under the bed. We had a Sunday school song about that. Do any of you remember that from growing up? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm not going to sing the whole song. I'm realizing I'm just going to keep on going. but no, like, for those that have grown up in the church, we've learned this from such a young age, and then somewhere along the way, the message shifted from let your light shine to, sure, let it shine as long as everybody's over there that needs to see it. Another way to be intentional is find openings to share your personal Jesus moments. Like, write them down. When Jesus does things in your life, write them down. Remind yourself of them. Give him thanks for them. And then when the opportunity arises, you can tell people about them. And serve others in love and kindness, or with kindness and great joy. So be intentional in sharing Jesus through words and actions. Secondly, support the work of others. We saw that message from the Heinrichs today. And we as a church, we believe that it's important that we support missionaries sent out to other areas of Canada and the world. And so we pray for those people. We send a portion of our general funds that come into the church to those people. But you know what you as individuals can do? You can pray for them. That's a great thing. You can also send additional funds to help them in their ministry. You can lend your talents and time to help them in meaningful ways. You could reach out to them and go, hey, you know what? I noticed that your website doesn't seem to be working right now. I know a little bit about web stuff. Do you want me to handle your website? Or, hey, you know what? I noticed that it seems like you guys are having a hard time getting your newsletters out. Can I help in some way? Reach out. We also support the work of others by supporting your local church. And listen, I'm saying whatever church, your home church may be. So if you're here today and you're from out of town, you attend another church, God bless you. That's your church. They deserve your encouragement, your money, your time, your talents for that church that's regularly impacting you for Jesus. But if you go to this church, then the same applies to us. We can live out the mission by supporting the work of the church that is ministering to us and to the community around us. We can be generous. We just talked about that. Being generous with our time, with our finances, with who we are. Support the work of others. And thirdly, step out of your comfort zone and be bold. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but sometimes even when there's somebody that we're talking to and they're like a trusted individual, we know that we could say anything to them and it would never offend them. It would never insult them. It would never make them think any differently of us. And it still can be scary to even talk about, oh yeah, I'm going to go to church. Hey, would you like to come? We're like, that might be overstepping. Right? Inviting people to something I enjoy, that could be overstepping. And then they come up to you and they're like, hey, I've got concert tickets to such and such. You want to go with me? Any difference? We need boldness to step out with the truth and grace and love. We worry about people's opinions of us. The apostles, Jesus' closest followers, they were dragged in before the court in Jerusalem and told, you need to stop sharing this Jesus guy or else. And you know what they did? They went back together and they prayed this prayer. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Don't do this or else. God, I need boldness to keep doing what they told me not to do. Friends, we need to step out with the same boldness today. We need to step out in faith and engage a world that is in desperate need of the hope of Jesus. We need to engage them with the good news. You have a purpose, every one of you. You have a mission. And so I want you to imagine right now, go ahead and close your eyes. I want you to imagine doing the most exciting thing in your life. Maybe you're free climbing a cliff like Ethan Hawke. I don't know his name. Anyways. And all of a sudden, you've got sunglasses in your hand and you recognize them. I want you to put on those sunglasses. I want you to hear your name. And right now, as you're receptive to whatever Jesus wants to tell you, I believe that you can imagine hearing his voice saying your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to boldly go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so the question is yours now. What will you choose to do? Will you surrender to Jesus? Will you accept the mission and live a life of God-given purpose? Will you join me in putting your hands out in a position of surrender all around this room? Jesus, today I'm praying this prayer for myself and anyone that's following along with me, but Lord, there have been so many times in my life that I haven't lived my life surrendered to you. That the mission's been put on the back burner because it was uncomfortable, it was tiring, or I just wasn't interested. But Jesus, today, I humbly come before you and say I'm sorry for those times that I've ignored you. I'm sorry for those times that I haven't stepped into the mission that you've placed on my heart. And today, Lord, I lay my life before you and I say, use me. Use me for your glory, for your purposes. Fill me. Fill me with your spirit so that I might know what you want me to do. So I might have the boldness to go and the wisdom of the words to speak supplied by your spirit. I wish to be a spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-empowered minister of the good news of Jesus Christ. Just right now, continue in that place of prayer and surrender to Him. Some of you here today, you're in a place where you need to surrender as well, but you're in a place where you need that first step, where you need to respond to the words of John 3:16 in the Bible that says, "For God so loved the world," and that includes you, "that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." He's calling you to accept His gift of life, to walk through the doorway, to be released from brokenness, and to come to the Father. And if right now you'd like to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me that is a reflection out loud of the reality that's going on in your heart, a prayer of surrendering your life to Jesus. So pray this after me. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and so many things I've done have not honored You. But I thank You that You've given it all for me. And today, I give You my life. Please give me Yours. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Transform me by Your love. I give all I am to You today. And I commit to following You the rest of my life. Thank You that when I mess up, You don't reject me, but You pick me back up. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with us and you meant it from your heart for the first time here, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to being the body of Christ. We would love to be able to connect with you and get a Bible and some resources into your hands. And so online, be sure to go to ascc.life and tap on "I just gave my life to Jesus." Fill out that form there, and we'll be in touch with you later on this week.